All right, listen, I'm going to jump over here to the opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue. Every single day, I'll remind you guys, Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground across our overly broad listening area. Southern Immediate Care with places like, you know, clinics in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. They are indeed the daily sponsors of the Right Side Way monologue, and we are glad of it. So the other day, I was at my office at the law firm, and something was frustrating me. If you've ever run your own business, you know that no matter how big or small your shop is, there's always something needs to be set right or dealt with or responded to. I like to say that sometimes I can't get my work done because I'm too busy getting my work done. You know what I mean. But in that moment of aggravation the other day, I looked at the beautiful big large windows that I have in my office that look out over a golf course, and I suddenly realized how dirty the windows were. I mean, like, really dirty. I had been so busy that I hadn't even noticed, but as I stood there catching my breath, trying to get over my frustration with something, I realized that the beauty of my office was clouded up by dust and pollen that had set in. So, you know what? I just stopped what I was doing. I got some Windex and paper towels, and I made those windows shine. And they look good. And I told one of the great folks who works with me that, you know, I can't always control the world around me, but I can make sure my windows are clean. And it's true. Look, I can't fix it all, but there's things that I can do to take the best care of what I've got, right? I mean, my granny, bless her heart, she had a humble home in West Birmingham where she lived for half a century. It was a modest little two-bedroom home in a factory community, no air conditioning, but her kitchen was always clean and her porch was always swept. She couldn't fix everything, but she could fix some things, and she did. Recently, I heard a quote on TV that just kind of set well with me. Charlene and I love to find a show that we can enjoy together. We've watched every season of Blue Bloods, but recently we started watching Chicago Fire. Pretty solid characters there, and one of them is a guy named Chief Wallace Bowden, played by Emon Walker, the character who runs Firehouse 51 in the show. In one of those episodes, he was talking about some life issues that he was facing, and somebody advised him that he might want to back off on something. And his response was, "It's better to die on your feet than to live on your knees." Wow. I mean, think about it. Better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. That just got all over me, and that quote has now been added to my notebook of favorite quotes. But he wasn't talking about something that would actually kill him. He was talking about taking the reins on things and not just rolling over in life. You know, we can't always control things that go on around us. We can't always make the hurt stop. We can't always make the naysayers change their ways. But what we can control is how we react to the world around us. Chief Bowden was basically saying that. He was saying that how we respond says much about who we are. And I try to live that way. I do. Some might call it bullheaded or stubborn, but I tend to call it stick-to-itiveness. There's a word for you, stick-to-itiveness. I can't make the long trip shorter, but I can take the next step. I can't make the rain stop falling, but I can fix the leak. I can't get everything done, but I can do what's in front of me to the best of my ability. It's an attitude that we have to have. If we're going to be successful in life, we have to have that attitude. We have to, because life will throw curveballs and drop a crisis or three on us in any given time. But if we've laid up a lifetime of dealing with the small stuff, we're going to be better prepped for the big stuff. I know it sounds simple, but think about it. There's a reason why the Army sends somebody to basic training before it sends them to advanced training, because there's small things that need to be in place first. And when crisis comes, it's the small stuff that kicks in, like the muscle memory that gets us through. If you've ever built a lifetime of dealing with small stuff, then you're going to be more likely to stay on your feet when the big stuff comes. I remember at Army Ranger School many moons ago, there were days I wanted to quit. In fact, most days I wanted to quit multiple times a day. Guys to my left and right were dropping out due to injuries or just not making the standards. 450 people tried to get into my class. 250 made it past day one. 98 graduated. The constant lack of sleep to the point of hallucination, the constant lack of food to the point that I lost 30 pounds, the constant harassment, the movement, the physical challenges, the mountains, the swamps, the deserts, the parachute jumps, rappelling off of cliffs, patrolling at all hours. At one point, I had to recycle what was, in my opinion, the worst phase of all, the swamp phase in the swamps of North Florida. Y'all, the idea of doing the swamps twice just made me physically ill. I'm not going to lie. The notion of repeating the swamp phase at Ranger School was an emotional event for me. No one should have to do that. I can't do that, I thought. This isn't worth it, I thought. But in the end, with some encouragement from my amazing wife, I realized that the goal was not so much the outcome. The goal was sometimes just the next step. I could not control whether I was going to see day 60, but I could control whether or not I rucked up and took the next step on day 30, and then the next step. And then I cleaned my weapon, changed my socks, and took the next step. And amazingly, one day I realized it was actually day 60. Look, you can't always speak to the future. You cannot always control tomorrow, but you can look to where you are and you can make sure the windows are clean, the porch is swept. You take the next step. Admiral William McRaven was a career Navy SEAL. Just an amazing resume. A retired four-star admiral, he was actually the commander of the all-U.S. Special Operations. Upon his retirement, he actually became the chancellor of the University of Texas system. And he gave an amazing commencement address at Texas in 2014. It's one of my favorite speeches. It's called Make Your Bed. If you've never watched it, I want to challenge you to do so. Admiral McRaven, speech, Make Your Bed. That's what it's called. It's some of the best life advice I've ever heard in one speech, and it was designed to say exactly what I'm saying right now. In the speech, McRaven gave several life lessons to the graduates that came from his own experiences. McRaven talked at one point about how every morning at Buds, to be a SEAL, he was training and learning what it meant to be a SEAL, and the instructors would show up and inspect his bed. His bed? Why? He said if he did it right, then the corners were going to be square, the covers pulled tight, the pillow properly centered on the headboard, the extra blanket folded just right at the foot of the bunk. He said that it was the most mundane task, but they did it every single day. And he thought that it was ridiculous for men who were aspiring to be warriors to have to be forced to make their beds. But then as time went by, he thought, huh. And he said this in his speech. You ready? Quote, he said, the wisdom of this simple act has been proven to me many times over. If you make your bed every morning, you'll have accomplished the first task of the day. It'll give you a small sense of pride. It'll encourage you to do another task and another and another. And by the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. Making your bed will also reinforce the fact that the little things in life actually do matter. He went on to say this. He said, quote, if you can't do the little things right, you'll never be able to do the big things right. And if by chance you have a miserable day, you will come home to a bed that's made, that you made, and a bed that is made and gives you encouragement that tomorrow will be better. So if you want to change the world, he said, start off by making your bed. Look, in Proverbs 24:10, it says, if you fall apart in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. That's what it says, Proverbs 24:10. Interesting. But I submit to you, too, that how you handle a crisis is not determined by just that moment. It is determined by how you handled things that led up to that moment, because life got you ready for the day when the crisis came, because you did the small things along the way. Jesus said in John 16, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. He has, I believe that. His call, Jesus' call, is to lean in, trust, and keep doing what you've been called to do, even when it seems like the small stuff. Like you cannot control tomorrow. But right now, you can make sure your windows are clean, your porch is swept, and your bed is made. And you just keep taking the next step. Better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. That's a wrap for the right side way. There you have it, life lessons, inspired by Chief Bowden on Chicago Fire and Admiral McRaven, a Navy SEAL. Anyway, listen, the bottom line here, guys, is that you live on your feet, right? You do. You live on your feet. That's how you take the next step, by being on your feet. Get her done. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.